Welcome to another sermon podcast from All Souls Anglican Church, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Thanks for joining us as we study God's Word together. These weekly sermons are part of the teaching ministry of our church. Have your Bible ready as we begin this week's sermon. And stay tuned when we finish at the end to find out more about us.
Well, let's talk about the Isaiah passage tonight. I don't know if you've noticed, but over the years, Advent becomes more and more a time where everybody thinks Christmas, decorations, gifts, and it becomes so built up that the only thing that can happen is a letdown. This is not a new phenomenon. In 1978, I was transferred to a base, and the day after Labor Day, I happened to go into the base store, which was called an exchange, to buy something, and what to my wondering eyes should behold but Christmas decorations, September 5th, and I thought, what has happened? That same day, I happened to run into the wing commander, who was the guy kind of in charge of that base and the airplanes. And I said, "Boss, I would like you to do something." I knew he was a good Lutheran. "Go to the exchange and buy something." He said, "Why do you want me to do that?" And I said, "Just go and buy something." Well, interestingly enough, over the course of that week, day by day, the decorations came down. And they didn't show up again until after Thanksgiving. Now, we don't all have a commander that can quietly make things right. So we live with overstimulation during Advent season. Most people don't even know there is an Advent season. They just go right for the gusto. And that's why we have more depression, more suicide, more ill feelings as we get to Christmas. It's a big buildup to a big letdown. We're not called to be happy clappy through Advent. We're not called to just walk around, "Woe is me," but we are called to prepare. If we just go with the whole commercial thing, we miss the beauty. It's like that song by Peggy Lee, which a few of you remember, "Is That All There Is?" Remember how she said, "Is that all there is?" I'm going to insert a word. Is that all there is to Advent? If that's all there is, let's keep dancing. Bring on the clowns and have a ball, if that's all there is. There's an emptiness in a world without Christ. And so for us, it's a time to look at what God has done in the coming of Jesus Christ as an infant, and looking to the future, what God is going to do when Christ comes back as King and Judge. And meanwhile, what we do as we hang in between those two comings. Isaiah 35 gives us a hint. So if you would turn back in your Bibles to page 595, I'd like to spend a little time preaching on that passage. Now, what we'll do is, the first part will be the context and the content of that passage. That would be roughly, what does it say? And then we'll talk about the theology of the passage. What does it mean? And finally, we'll talk about the application of that passage. What does it mean to me? So that's where we're going. This is the first part. What does Isaiah 35 say? Before we can analyze a passage, we need to know the context. And so let's just use a very simple dating. Somewhere in the 8th century before Christ, which is a long time ago, there was a man named Isaiah who was a prophet. And he was a prophet during a very difficult time in the life of the people of Israel. In fact, I want to read a little commentary. It's from the Commentary of the Old Testament. And these words were penned by the one-time dean of Canterbury. He's going to give us the context of what Isaiah was greeted with. This is what he says. Isaiah saw a gradual deterioration in the moral condition of the people. Religion was losing its hold over the conscience. Luxury was ever on the increase. Drunkenness had grown to the dimensions of a national sin. Lavish expenditures had led to covetousness, and wealth was accumulating in a few hands by open injustice and in direct violation of the fundamental principles of the Jewish community. It was a very dark picture. The inward decline of men and manners, which had come to pass in the days when everything looked so bright and cheerful. That was then. You know, you could say the same thing now. We are caught in the same kind of crippling society that Isaiah had to deal with. These people were moving along, seemingly bright and cheerful. The big buildup would result in the big come down a few years after Isaiah penned this. Isaiah chapter 35, the people of Israel had broken into two kingdoms because they couldn't get along. The northern one was called the Kingdom of Israel. It was set in a town called Samaria. And then the southern kingdom was called Judah. It was centered in Jerusalem. Well, within a few years after Isaiah put this part together, the northern kingdom was destroyed, the people carted away. And then 150 years later, the southern kingdom was destroyed and the people carted away. But meanwhile, in the mid-8th century BC, they had no idea this was coming. They let the debt climb, they let the life go bad, and they never realized what the consequences would be. That's the context. Isaiah prophesying to a smug and self-satisfied people, telling forth and forth-telling God's warnings and God's eventual promises as to what would happen. Now, the content, Isaiah 35. In the midst of a book that warns over and over against immorality and idolatry, chapter 35 sits as a beacon of hope. You know, I brought it's not time yet, but I brought a poinsettia. Now, I want to tell you why I brought this. In the first couple of verses, Isaiah talks about the blossoming in the desert. Now, I can tell you, I pulled a deployment in the Sinai Desert. I did not see any poinsettias there. I saw nothing blossom. It was sand, and it was dirt, and there were a few shrub things on the ground. Isaiah is talking about this is what will happen. Eventually, people have hope. People turn back to God. This is your gift that God has for you. Be faithful. There's abundance in the desert in our spiritual lives that God wants to have for us. Some of you may have traveled to what's today called the Holy Land. And if you go down into the Jordan Valley, it's mostly all brown, except where it's irrigated. And where it's irrigated from the Jordan River, blossoming fruit trees are everywhere. The water gave life and is giving life. There was a lady several hundred years ago whose name was Teresa of Avila. She was a cloistered nun. She was a mother superior. And she delved into a spiritual awareness of God. And she said there are three ways for us to feel the beauty of God in our lives, because we need irrigation to do it. We need the spiritual waters of Christ. And she said the first way is to plant beside a river and get a bucket and keep getting water with the bucket and carrying it over and putting it on the plants. She said that's the way some people go about their spiritual life. And it's a very difficult way. It's the way of continual guilt. We have to keep going to the well, dumping God's forgiveness over us, and hoping for the best. Now, I do believe in guilt. I'm not saying we shouldn't have guilt. But she was saying that our whole theology is on guilt. She said the second way is to build some canals off the river in rows and plant your seed in between the rows. You still use the buckets, but you don't have to walk as far. Okay, that's the way a lot of people try to live. They can't get to the main source, so they find little religious things to do to stay tuned to God. But Teresa of Avila said the best way for spiritual renewal is letting the rain fall on you. You don't need to dig canals. You don't need to carry a bucket. All you do is just surrender and let the Lord rain on you. And she said the way that is done is quiet contemplation, going to church, reading the scriptures, receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion, making a way for God to bless us. And that way he brings abundance in our spiritual desert. It's almost too simple, but it's the way of spiritual renewal. Isaiah somehow knew that this could happen to this people if they would only surrender to God and let him renew them. Listen to this here when he gives hope. Look at verses 5 and 6. After he talks about the desert rejoicing and blossoming like a crocus, in verse 5 and 6 he says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." Many of us are just in the trenches of hopelessness because we have not thought about the simple thing to do. Simply surrender to God and begin to live in that joy that is Jesus Christ. Isaiah is saying to the people of Israel, if you will simply turn from idolatry to the Lord, we call that repentance. Turn from what you spend your time on to the God who gives you joy, you will receive such joy that you won't even be able to contain it. You'll leap like the lame. You'll see like the blind who couldn't see and now you can see. You'll hear the beauty of God. That's what Isaiah prophesied for the people, and they couldn't hear it. They didn't respond. And then look at verses 8 through 10. This is what happens when a people, when a person, when a church, when a nation turns from idolatry and turns to the living God. "And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they're fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's what God had for the people of Israel, but they couldn't hear the prophecy. Perhaps we can hear the prophecy. Isaiah holds out the hope for his people, and he holds out the hope for us, saying, come back to the one true God. Experience real abundance in a parched land. Drop the smugness and self-satisfaction. Come back to your God. So that's the context and the content. Now let's look at the theology. What does this passage mean? And as always, we have to do the big picture before we can get to the smaller picture. And the big picture is the four-step way of salvation. It's been in operation. It's the whole summary of the scripture. It's throughout the prayer book. Step one, God loves each one of us, knows us by name, knows the hairs on our head, has a great plan for us. Step two, because of our sin, we have separated us from that joy, from the plan. We cannot get back on our own. We are lost. But step three, God loving us, brings a way for us to be able to get back into the plan, and that's through the plan of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, God incarnate, who comes, lives among us, dies for us, is bodily resurrected, is ascended to heaven, and sends the Holy Spirit upon us. We have salvation. And step four is, of course, accepting that gift. Accepting the gift of Jesus Christ into our lives. And what we're doing now is living out our lives on this earth full of Jesus Christ. We're back in the plan. That's the gift. With that big picture, we now move to Advent in Isaiah 35. Advent is how God comes to us. The word Advent means coming. Right now we're awaiting the remembrance of the coming of the Bambino, while at the same time we're remembering that he will come again in judgment. Step three of that plan was God coming as an infant. Now, to fulfill Isaiah 35, blossoming in the desert, us having hope, we need to remember that God calls us to account. In the prayer book, in Article 4 of the 39 articles, listen to this. Christ truly rose again from the dead. His was a bodily resurrection with flesh, bones, and all things that belong to the perfection of our human nature. Further, his ascension was a bodily ascension into heaven, where he is now enthroned at the Father's right hand until the last day when he will return to judge all men. For some people, that's a scary time. Do you like to be judged? We're all going to be judged. But you see, with Jesus caring for us, bringing us back into the plan, the judgment will make things right. It will bring abundance in the desert. If you are still filled with fear of the judgment, listen to John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus speaking, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. That's the hope God has for us. It's a gift in a darkened world. Have you noticed that things haven't been going quite as well as we would like on planet Earth? I don't know if you've noticed that. We are having some trouble in our nation right now regarding the whole racial question. And some on one side say, get with the plan, it's all been solved. And people on the other side saying, it may have been solved for you, but it's not solved for us. We're working through a very difficult time when everybody said the racism thing is done. Well, maybe not everybody said that. That's a difficult time. And to compound it, we have a particular, let's say, radical religion that has said, we don't think Christians ought to live on the earth, and we're going to help the process. And so we have people being beheaded, being driven out of their homes at a rate we have not seen in a long time. We have a religion in the world that says the world is not going to be right until everybody's part of that religion or they're part or they're dead. Our island, United States, is not that safe anymore. What will happen? Not only that, I talked about national debt. We don't think about how much $18 trillion is. We just keep spending. Somewhere along the line, that's got to break. It's just got to happen. I'm being a prophet right now. Plus, we live in a world where everyday common manners are falling apart. Respect, mutual respect, is disappearing. And even in the church, we have confusion, breakups, divisions, splits, resentment. It's enough to drive you crazy. Well, I've just been a prophet now. I've been a little bit Isaiah for the United States of America. I don't know where this thing's going, but I know the solution. And it's the Holy Spirit of God. Will we accept it? Which moves us to the last point, application. What does this chapter mean to me personally? What does it mean to you personally? A number of us had a situation where we actually did a serious 180-degree turn. I stayed a crazy college fraternity kid way after college was done. One day, my friend who had been my fraternity brother and roommate, and we went into the Marine Corps together. One Sunday morning, we were sitting in a diner trying to drink coffee. And I said, Brownie, we got to get hold of our lives here. I'm disgusted with myself. We're Marine officers. People depend on us. Why are we still living this kind of a life? And he said, I don't know, maybe we're addicted. Recognizing the difficulty was a turning. It took several years, but eventually God turned my life around to where I wasn't chasing stupid stuff anymore, where I was seeing God's beauty in Jesus Christ. I had to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, as God had planned way long ago. And once I accepted him, I began the road of holiness, verses 8 through 10. He began, even a fool, it says, he began with this fool and made me a fool for Christ. I'm not the only one that's had this kind of experience. I have a friend named Steve, and Steve is now about my age. It took him a little longer to kind of get things straight. Although he went to church, he'd never stopped going to church. He was really into status and possessions, and it was not till he was about 50 that he woke up one morning and said, "There's nothing here. I've got all this stuff. I'm a big, what you call, SES, senior executive something. I don't know, government guy. He said, I've got nothing. I've been going to church all these years. You know what? I've never had Jesus Christ. And God flooded his spirit. And today he's a leader in the church. And then my friend Patty, a good wife and mother, also brought her kids to church, but had never been in a situation where she could actually repent and turn her life over to Christ. And one day she came into my office and said, how do you accept Christ? And I thought, I'm a failure. I've never told her how to accept Christ. And she went through the steps and her life became beautiful. Now she lost her husband because he could not handle the new Patty. She gained Christ. She's a blossoming, beautiful woman. God brings joy out of sorrow. He brings blossoms out of the desert. How is he touching your life? How is he dealing with you in the midst of discouragement, darkened days? Simply open your life to him. Tonight, in your bed, simply say, Lord, I've been trying to do this on my own, and it doesn't work. I apologize, Lord. Jesus, would you come in and take over, take charge? God loves to hear those words. And I can guarantee you, he will. He will come in. He will renew you. You may have accepted Christ 4,000 times. You can do it again. He will come into your life. He's planned it from before creation. Conclusion. Jesus is already present in this decaying country, in this decaying world, in our decaying lives. He's come, and he's bringing blessings. He's bringing blessings through you and me. We are the poinsettias that he uses to bring beauty to the world. It's a gift he's given us. He wants us to touch 7 billion lives. Let's be those blossoms. Blessed Lord God, I thank you that you could give us hope in a darkened time as we await the coming of the Bambino, Father. Open our hearts more and more that we fear nothing as we come close to you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You can find out more about us by going to our website, allsoulsnj.org. There, you can support our mission by making a one-time donation or starting a podcast member subscription by clicking the Support the Show link under the Contact Us tab. You can also support us in prayer by clicking the email newsletter tab at the top. All Souls Anglican Church. Simple church, ancient truth, real people, new life.